Good evening. This is the August 27th, 2024 meeting of the National Finance Committee. My name is Darlene Pagano. I am the chair and calling the meeting to order. R. Paul, Mr. Secretary, will you call roll?
Okay,
excuse
please.
Excuse me, the time is?
Oh, you didn't right. 8:34 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you, R. Paul.
Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo.
Here.
Lyndon Foley.
You heard me, right?
I heard you.
Here.
Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Kamau Harris.
I'm here.
Christina Huggins.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Stephen Meeks.
Here.
Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Minerva Sanders.
Minerva has just let me know that her pin isn't working. I'm going to send her mine. So watch for her to come on my pin. It's Susan.
Well, all right. Thank you, Susan.
Susan Young.
Here.
Okay, that's nine, and that is a quorum.
Thank you, R. Paul. I am going to ask that everyone look at the draft agenda that was sent out just within the last couple of hours and ask if there are any changes or if we are approving of this agenda tonight. Do I hear any?
Reason for the stack.
Good Lord. Okay, hold on.
Madam Chair, did you read the agenda?
Thank you, Susan. I didn't. Thank you. So wait a minute. We have R. Paul and Myla when I've read it. Okay, we've already done the call to order and the roll call by the secretary. We're now looking at the draft agenda to either modify and also to approve. We're going to look at the approved open session minutes of August 13, 2024. Then we'll call on the executive director, Stephanie Wells, to give her report and take Q&A in the open session. We're going to look at number six. Update on Station 2025 budget. That is just asking for information. Then seven, we'll begin our discussion on central services. I'm suggesting 40 minutes be put aside for that. There are a number of points that have already come up. The executive director, national office, estimates of what the 2025 budget for the national office will be. We want to talk about debt services rates to the stations, looking at what we must collectively cover in 2025. Next, the most recent PMB motions that were found that addressed the central services. And then a review of historical financial information that has come from the business manager at KPFA. Last, number eight, items to schedule for upcoming NFC agendas as needed. We do this every meeting to look ahead to what will be coming up. And the next thing will be that the next budgets are expected to arrive, and we'll review those, and then we'll talk about the next steps we need to take in the central services review. There's an estimated time of 9:50 p.m. to adjourn the meeting. Thank you, Susan, for reminding me. I'll now call on R. Paul.
Okay, I have an amendment. The amendment is to change the estimated time of adjournment from 9:50 p.m. EST to 9:50 p.m. ET and to replace draft agenda modified / approved with agenda approval. And the reason for this is we are not on Eastern Standard Time at this point in time, and agenda approval is actually what we're going to do. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. I accept those corrections very much, and I didn't notice when Standard Time, Daylight Time ended. So
November.
I'll make that change. All right, I accept those changes.
Well, the committee needs to accept it. It has to pass. It's an amendment. Ask if there's objection.
Right. Are there any objections to the corrections that R. Paul offered for the agenda? Hearing none, that passes, and we'll be. I'll be doing that. Myla, you are on next.
Yes, I have a question about whether or not Maria Negrete has agreed to help us understand her work on the central services. If she is not available tonight, I would like to put off that agenda item until our next meeting or the next meeting when she is available to meet with us.
Well, we haven't invited her, so we don't know what that will be. We can, a couple of us have already seen these, and two of us have already sort of had a walkthrough from Maria, and I would counter offer that we do what we can and then figure out all the things that we want to follow up on and decide if we want to invite Maria to do that at the next meeting.
I am surprised, Darlene, by what you're saying now, because in an email that you sent about 4.5 hours ago, you said that she might be available tonight if the committee wanted to hear from her. And am I hearing that she wasn't made aware of what you communicated to the committee?
Myla, that's not at all. She is offering herself to answer questions from the committee, but she hasn't been invited by the committee yet. So we can take that up when we get there.
Okay, I'm rather confused by what you're saying, but we don't need to belabor it.
All right. Thank you, Myla, for... moving on. Anyone else?
I would still like to wait until she is available and move that from the agenda tonight.
Is that an amendment?
Yes.
Okay.
Darlene, this is Donna Carter. I just wanted you to know that I'm on the phone here.
Who's
Donna Carter?
Yes, no. You never said anything about being on, and I didn't issue you a number, a login. How are you?
This is an old number that you sent me.
Yeah, it was for the time that I sent it to you. And as you speak, I do not even see you on the... dashboard. Can you speak again?
This is Donna Carter.
So orders of the day, I believe that I made a proposal to take this off of the agenda until we can discuss it with Maria Negrete.
Thank you, Myla. I wanted to secure a director coming in. All right.
Madam Chair, can I hear the wording of this amendment?
Are you offering that, R. Paul? I'm not.
No. I would like to know. She wants to strike exactly what? All of seven?
All of seven.
Okay, the central service.
All
okay, I got it.
Seven? Myla, I need to ask, all of 7?
Yes.
You do not want us to talk about all the things lined up for central services discussion tonight.
Correct.
Our Paul,
all right. Go ahead, our Paul.
Yeah. I don't think that's a good idea because central services formulas are extremely complex. And it goes partly because it's a feedback loop, and discussing those can be interesting. And I will note that central services formulas discussion, if you look at them, you'll see there's a good amount of time between each one that's adopted. And
yes.
Basically, after one is adopted, almost immediately, within a couple of months, there are proposals to change the central services formula. And then you look, and it doesn't show up as a motion that gets passed until many months or a year later. It's complex. We should start discussing it right away if we're going to discuss it at all, so that we're ready for the next conversation about it. So, thank you.
Thank Christina you. For Stack, please.
Go ahead, Christina.
Hi. I understand the concern and everything, and I believe that Maria is available. I think that Darlene's point is that it, and also our Paul, is that it is important for central services, but I agree that it would be good to have Maria answer questions. I know she's available, so rather than completely sweep it to the side, why don't we have Maria help with the presentation? That would be my position, so thank you.
That's fine, but that's the fourth point. The other points are not offered to us by Maria. Point number 4.
Myla for the SAC.
Go ahead, Myla.
I would be amenable to withdrawing my amendment to the agenda if we were to invite, since she is available, to invite Maria Negret to join us this evening to help us work through our discussion about central services.
Okay, so you're not. Our Paul, can we just back up? Is that okay for what?
Well, okay, the amendment is on the floor, so it belongs to the floor. If we get unanimous consent,
okay.
It can be withdrawn. However, now we have a thing of inviting someone to the meeting, and well, I think what we would have to do, since we're on a main motion right now to adopt the agenda, is we would have to put on the agenda, invite Maria Negret to the meeting for number 7, and we would then go along at some point, and we'd have to put somewhere on the agenda to do that, probably right away, immediately after setting the agenda. We'd have to have a motion to invite her to the meeting. And,
so moved.
Okay,
so moved.
But understand, the way that would work would be the amendment at this point would be something like to invite Maria Negret to this meeting, and you would have to make that probably put that as number 4 before the minutes so that it could be done and people could find out what's going on.
So moved.
Oh, God.
Myla,
okay.
Stop, please.
All right,
let's not make this more complicated than it needs to be.
We're going to do it.
We're too late for that.
Step by step, just like we do in the PND, for instance.
Oh.
So, first of all, the issue is how does Myla withdraw her objection and then be able to add in call Maria?
Darlene,
well,
if you might recall, my amendment to the agenda was based on Maria Negret not being with us. But if she is available to be with us, I was saying that I wanted to have this discussion when she is available. So since she's available, that we hear she's available, I think that we should stop beating around the bush get her on the call, and proceed with our meeting?
To answer the chair's question, what would happen is Myla would need to move to withdraw her, ask for unanimous consent to withdraw her amendment to strike seven central services.
Right.
So
okay.
If there's no objection to that, it's done.
Thank you. Okay, then I will ask the body as a whole, are you amenable to, or do you agree to?
Is there anyone who disagrees?
Okay. So move that Myla's initial objection to strike item seven is over. Now we're back to the draft agenda. And Myla, is it that you want to make another modification?
Yes, I'd like to move, and I'd like to do this quickly so that we stop wasting time. I would like to move that we invite Maria Negrete to join us for the discussion of central services.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead, Arpal.
All right. The way I think it needs to be phrased is...
Oh, come on now. Stop messing around. Let's get on with it.
Well, Myla, I could say
I
that
know
too.
You have a time constraint. We're going to do it step by step.
Okay. I think the member wants the amendment to be to add number four, a motion to invite the KPFA business manager to this meeting.
Does that cover what you want, Myla? I heard a sound. I'll take that as a yes. Let me know if I'm wrong. So I then to everyone, does anyone have an objection to the amendment to invite the business manager from KPFA to this discussion this evening for the central services information?
It's not an objection. Let me make clear what this is. This is to add to the agenda a motion to invite her. So when the agenda gets approved, right after that, we'll go to and have a motion. And after that passes, then somebody can formally invite. So this is to add number four, motion to invite KPFA business manager to this meeting.
All right. And are there any objections to that?
Point of information.
Go ahead.
Apologies. It's Susan. Sorry for interrupting. It would be important for Maria, when invited, to be able to come early in the agenda. So I'm not sure how we accomplish that, but I suggest that her participation be next up when she is invited.
And Arpal, you're saying that needs to be gone through as a new step number, item number four.
Well, yes, because people want to do it as early in the meeting as possible, and that's as early as they can
all
get
right.
in. So there would be a motion then, and all right. So if somebody, from what I just heard, somebody wants to further amend things to move number seven central services up. Maybe make that number becomes new number six in front of executive director open report?
Yes, I understand that. First of all, we're still on the addition to the agenda to invite Maria Negrete to this meeting, the KPFA business manager to this meeting. And my question had been, are there any objections to bringing in that?
To a motion to do so, yes.
Thank you. No. Asking if there are any objections, which is what you often prompt me to do.
Yes.
So
I just want to, again, make sure we know what we're voting on right now. That's all.
Thank you. there is a motion to issue an invitation this evening to the business manager at KPFA. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, we will invite Maria Negrete.
No, we didn't have that motion yet. That's what I was trying to explain. Okay. We're still on the agenda. The main motion of the agenda is still on the floor.
Yes. And this is the opportunity to modify the agenda. Am I wrong?
No, that's what we should be doing, yes.
And the modification to the agenda is to add the item. There's a second item that goes with it, but to add the item of bringing in Maria Negrete.
A motion to invite her, yes.
Okay. And I asked if there was any objection, and I have not heard an objection, so that modification passes. Now, there was a second part to this that you were holding up for us. Do you remember what that is? Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Moving central services up ahead of item 5, the executive director's report. That's the second motion modifying the main motion of the agenda. Are there any objections to moving the central services discussion up before the executive director's report, which is currently at number 5? Any objections?
Well, let me state what I have here so we can agree. The motion is to move the executive director's report to to move the executive director's report.
To move central services to the
executive director report.
Yes. And that was the question. Are there any objections to that motion to be added to the agenda to move central services ahead of the executive director's report? Are there any objections? Hearing none, on the agenda, we have now moved central services ahead of the executive director report. Are there any other modifications to the agenda before I ask for approval? Hearing none, I make the motion to approve the agenda as amended. Are there any objections? Hearing none, thank you very much. We now have an approved agenda. I'm going to ask a favor of Christina Huggins. Would you, I have to give Maria a sign-in. Can you share your sign-in credentials with Maria, Christina?
Sure, darling.
So that's what I'm hoping you will do. You'll call Maria, and you'll give her, let her use your, duplicate your entry into the meeting. Okay?
Yeah, I'll do that right now, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much, Christina. Okay. Christina's doing that right away. Why don't we take then the approval of the open session minutes of August 13th. Arpal sent that out more than a day ago. Are there any corrections or questions on the minutes of August 13th?
I move to approve.
Hearing none. Thank you, Arpal. Arpal moves to approve. The minutes of August 13th, are there any objections? Hearing none, those minutes are accepted. All right. Now we have just waiting for Maria to have to go through the process of getting on Maestro. And I'm going to go out of order for just a moment and ask back down in item 8, there is a question that says, what are the next budgets we are expecting? So I'd like to hear from 3 of the 5 stations. We've already approved KPFT. And then I also know that we will not get the KPFA budget until after their LSD meeting on September, is it 14th or 17th? September 14th. So that's when the KPFA budget is expected in. So I, W, and K, if I may just address you all that way, where is your budget process? Shall we start on this time, the West Coast? Okay. Where's your budget in all the steps that has to go through? Myla or Stephen Meeks?
Yes, Myla. That budget is coming.
Go ahead, Stephen. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that budget is coming up for discussion at our next regular meeting.
That's your the LSB meeting or the Finance Committee meeting? Okay.
LSB.
Do you know the date of when your meeting is coming up?
Myla, can you give that
it's
date?
It's the second Sunday in September.
In September, second Sunday. That's the 8th of September. Okay,
correct.
That's
and that's
great.
What we reported last month as well. Nothing's changed since we reported on that last month.
Okay, very
that's
good. WPFW, where is your budget in the process?
Okay, this is Kamau. And, we are still, as a committee, working through preparing a budget. One of the things that the committee has asked for, and I've asked an email to the national office, and I'll send another request, but we're looking for general ledger information as it relates to the expenses that were posted to the financials for the fiscal years 2022 and 2023. We need this because there's no exact crosswalk as to how the information left PFW's information and got booked on the financials. We need that crosswalk in order to understand what details are in each of these expense accounts. It will help us to identify the expenses to reduce and also maybe potentially expenses that we may be missing. We need that information.
All right. And you're going to send that request again after the meeting or tomorrow, right?
I will. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. And then we'll go to WBAI.
Okay. Well, with us, the deal is we aren't really starting yet. We are attempting to find out if we can get information. We haven't gotten any. The interim general manager has not attended any local finance committee meetings, and we are just getting no information about, you know, that we can use for a budget. And so all we have, I know last time we had information from the executive director a little bit. You can't base a budget on that. Plus, management needs to do the budget initially in order, because management sees what the expenses are and what the revenue is. And we have had not enough communication from anybody in management to help us begin the process. We have, in fact, scheduled an extra local finance committee meeting, which I am hoping to get the interim general manager to attend and maybe show up with some information, but it's speculation right now. So that's where we're at.
All right. And you are correct in that the expectation is that the general manager works with the ED to come up with the budget that then goes through review and approval by the local finance committee, the LSB, and then it's brought to the NFC, and you haven't gotten information on that. Okay. So when we get to the executive director's report, that might be a good time to detail what you're looking for so that the office can either send it to you for those who are going to do it themselves as opposed to with your general your IGM or not. So I would suggest we put it there, the executive director's open report. Okay. Is Maria among us yet?
Yeah, I think we missed one.
I am here.
Hello, Maria. Glad to hear you. We used the time you had to, use to get on here. We're going to open up the central services discussion. There are a number of things that are coming up that were not part of anything that you sent in, but the vote was to have you here to even get started. So just want to give you the framework of where you're coming. Okay.
Yeah, I was here listening and waiting. So I thank you for inviting me in.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to call on this first item under central services. I'm going to call on the executive director to talk a little bit about the expectation of the 2025 budget for the national office. Stephanie, I'm calling you forward.
Okay. The national office budget, as I was talking to Darlene earlier, but there's been a couple of versions of the national office budget that were submitted. There was one that was submitted to the National Finance Committee in September 23, and then also in June as well, that had the Q1 actuals for 2024, then projected throughout the rest of the year, proposed for 2025, and then also the actuals for fiscal year 23 and fiscal year 22. So the basic projected revenue without central services for the national office for the end of this year, of this fiscal year, is approximately $220,000. Proposed for fiscal year 25 is approximately $306,000, and that is without central service payments. We anticipate roughly, it varied because the central service formula is what we were kind of waiting on because that we're just working off of, as people said earlier, different motions that have been created or discussed but never really quite voted on. The expenses for fiscal year projected for the remainder of fiscal year 25 is roughly $1,076,000. Proposed for fiscal year 25 is $938,000. So there is projected to be a small profit, lack of a better word, but in the black for both of the fiscal years. But a lot of that is also including the revenue that would be generated from central services. So one of the things to take into consideration is that, again, the expenses, total expenses, the national office does generate revenue. We do get donations. We do get some grants. One of the things that we are wanting to add is that for the upcoming fiscal year is some of the sponsorship and underwriting to programming at a national level, because we did receive some of that this year. already for the national programming that we had for the RNC and the DNC. So that is added in the proposed budget. But again, we can get a better guesstimation as to what expenses we can increase if it is for, you know, development expenses, programming expenses, and then also based, again, what's upon the central service formulas.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know what else.
So, yeah, thank you. But just I'm doing too many things at a time to have done my addition there, Stephanie. So you're expecting that the expenses or the income of the central office in 2025, the $306,000 is. Would you say that again, what that is?
Without central services, where I've anticipated that we obviously don't have any listener, you know, we don't have listener support. So we, but we have had some corporate match donations. So we have, our actuals for fiscal year 22 were a little over $7,000. So we anticipated for fiscal year 25, just dropping that a little bit to 6,500 because we're trying to encourage the stations to go ahead and focus on that corporate match. We have roughly about $80,000 that is proposed for fiscal year 25 for individual donations. Our actuals over the last couple of years have been close to anywhere between $60,000 to $70,000. We have the rent income from the sideband channels, which is decreasing significantly. The history of that is that they're just not really being used that much anymore. There's just a few of them that exist right now that we have, and even those are shutting down. But we do average approximately about $100,000, about $120,000 for that rent income. We haven't really listed anything in grant income, but this year we received close to about $50,000 in grant income. So we did project that and propose similar to that for fiscal year 25, and then also added another $50,000 for sponsorship and underwriting for our national programming. So that means our proposed revenue for fiscal year 25 is around $306,500, but we can make it, you know, $307,000.
Okay. And what the national office needs, I'm sorry to be so dense, but I am, and the budget that the national office needs is $938,000.
Yes, our expenses total approximately projected for this year is roughly $1,076,000. There was some added legal bills that we've incurred. But we're proposing for fiscal year 25, this is again when the budget was done in June, expenses to be $938,250.
Okay. So the amount that Central Services needs to cover is $635,000?
Correct.
Okay. That is an excellent starting point. Thank you. Are there other questions of Stephanie on just that question, the National Office Estimate? Well, okay. I have a second question, so I'm going to bring it up, which is, Stephanie, I'm not sure everybody, because I didn't, I'm not sure everybody knows exactly what it is that Central Services has to pay. Now, you sent me you sent me a list of those things today. Do you want me to read them out, or do you have that in front of you so you can iterate the expenses that the national office is responsible for?
I can run through the list.
Thank you.
We do have you know, staff members in addition to Markeisha and myself. We also cover the salary for Mo, our chief engineer. Sometimes that's spread out across some of the stations, but we have absorbed that into the national office because he does quite a bit of work for a lot of stations that possibly don't have the funding. If somebody requests him to do something specifically, then we'll ask the station if they can help offset some of that cost. But we do cover his costs. We also cover the costs for John and Mella prior to even becoming the National Compliance Officer, but now we have those expenses with the National Compliance Officer in addition to the legal expenses associated with that. We also cover the salary of Otis, who does all of our the web work and with the conferences, and everybody knows what Otis does. It's wonderful. We also cover the cost of an extra IT person, D'Angelo, who's based out of KPFK. We also have a part-time accountant payroll person that assists during the crunch time when we're getting close to payroll, and has also been working quite diligently doing the reconciled bank statements for a lot of the stations. And then we're providing those to the stations and trying to get caught up and go back with a lot of the reconciliation of statements. For example, WCFW, we just completed the reconciliation of all the bank statements through July. So those have been sent over, but I'll make sure that the, that you get them as well now. We also have any sort of insurance expenses that may incur, including covering insurance for the a lot of the stations' health insurance, because health insurance needs to be paid in advance. So we have to pay a lot of that and cover the cost of that, and then we do get reimbursed when stations make their health insurance payments. We're covering the cost of the elections, that even though we were hoping to wait to try to get funding for that from the proceeds from the sale of the building, we've been covering and paying for the elections already. We cover the majority of legal fees. If it is something specific to the station, again, we reach out to the station and ask them to help cover that, but we do cover the cost of the majority of all of the legal fees. We cover some expense shortages for other divisions. If it is something that is an emergency that needs to be paid, whether it's, you know, a power issue or something's going to be turned off or shut down, we will pay for that up front and then try to work with the stations to get paid back. We pay for the audit, even though we haven't had the audit done yet, but that is, you know, an $85,000, $90,000 fee. And then also our tax filings, which we have started those already. So we're, that's another additional, at least $15,000 to $20,000 just to get our 990s done. We also pay for any sort of the national bills right now, just paying them down, but the music licensing fees for the general licensing that can't be covered by any of the stations, Allegiance for a national licensing fee, and again, the stations cover for that as well. Then we also have, you know, just the basic bank charges, interest charges, storage rental for a while, but we're in the process of trying to close that, and KPFA has been covering a lot of the costs for that storage rental, but we're in the process, again, of trying to close that down. And, you know, just the basic support. This year we've added the national programming because we have had, again, the DNC and the RNC convention coverage. And so we did get a underwriting and also a grant that the affiliate division secured. And so they've been using that grant money to help with the training for the reporters that we were working with the affiliate stations to help cover that. So we did have an extra added expense line, even though it was pulled out with the grant for national coverage.
Thank you, Stephanie. Are there any questions for Stephanie on that question that she just answered on what is the national office response for? I hear you, Myla.
ARPAL for Steph.
Anyone? Okay, yeah. Myla. ARPAL. Okay, go ahead, Myla.
One, I would appreciate it if you have already forwarded that list to us, Darlene, that you supply that list that Stephanie provided to you to the entire committee. It would have been helpful to have had it to follow along tonight to help us to kind of hone in on specific questions. But one question that I do have had to do with the last item, and that is that you said that there were that there was an initial grant for our coverage of the DNC and RNC, but there were additional expenses paid for by Pacifica. that came out of central services, and I'd like to know what those expenses were and which of the five stations actually took advantage of that coverage.
Well, it wasn't taken out of central services because we aren't receiving central services, but there was a $15,000 grant that the affiliates worked on, and I worked with Ursula on that to help offset the costs of running a training program for young reporters based out of many of our affiliate stations. So they wrote the grant, they received the money, and that was managed by Ursula. The cost for running the and covering the conventions included paying the reporters that were on site, also paying for the board operators that were working out of WBAI, WPFW took advantage of it, also KPFA, KPFK, and yeah, WPFW, WBAI. The only station that didn't take all of the footage or all of the coverage was KPFT, but they did take portions of it. And that was not money that was allocated out of the national office, but we budgeted according to the support that we were able to get through underwriting, and we received $50,000 for that.
So to just follow up
to the national office.
So to follow
my,
up,
my,
may I have a follow up, please, Darlene? May
you,
I follow
you
up?
You may have a follow up, but you were asking about things that we will get into when we get the 2025 budget from the national office. This what
Darlene? Might I just? Oh come on, Darlene. Can I please follow up?
Go ahead. You're taking up the time of the meeting that you didn't want to take up, but you. But go ahead.
Darlene! Stop. I'm out. This is just too frustrating to even try to deal with.
I know you have another meeting to go to. I know. Are you following up, or have you gone?
Well, we've already. No, I'm here. I'm just. It's just really difficult to even keep my train of thought with all of this unnecessary back and forth. I will defer to the next person.
Is that our Paul?
Yep. Okay. First, I want to second the request that the list be sent to the committee. And the other thing is. One, now we've gotten a whole load of detail, but it's a lot more detailed than that if you really look at it. But the executive director gave us some details. A convenient way to look at this, of the central services thing, is basically the national office needs a certain amount of money per year. It has various ways of getting some of that, but central services fees are what's supposed to pay to make this, the national office function. So that's it. The main way to think of the central services is it's how the national office gets enough money to function. And as an overall way of looking at it, I think that can help a lot of people before they start getting knee-deep in the details. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
And a breakdown of what the expenses are follows the same budget as when people get the consolidated financials. So there's a tab also for the national office. So there's the consolidated, the first tab on any of our consolidated financials goes through Pacifica in general and covers all the income and expenses for all divisions. And then the tabs that follow that on those spreadsheets break it down by station and by division. And the three divisions are the archives, the affiliates, and the national office. So anytime you look at any of the budgets, it has the same, you know, general ledger items with administrative expenses, programming expenses, development expenses, all in that, you know, column B or column A, whatever it may be. I think it's column B because column A are actually the codes. So it breaks it down with the details for the revenue. It breaks it down for the details by the expenses and then breaks it down even further as personnel costs, board costs, admin costs, programming costs, and development costs, which equal the total operating.
Thank you, Stephanie. I don't have anyone else on the stack. Myla, are you prepared to
go where you wanted to go with Stephanie?
I'm really not interested in pursuing anything else at this time. Thank you.
All right.
I just want to move on with the meeting.
Yes. Is there anyone else who has questions of the executive director on the amount of money that the national office expects to need for 2025 and what they expect is their responsibility to pay? That's actually two questions that have come up. Okay.
Paul?
Okay, R. Paul.
Very fast. So the bottom line is the national office wants $307,000 for FY25 in central services fees, right?
Plus, no. Stephanie, I don't want to garble that. So would you?
I'm talking about central services fees. I thought the other things. Okay, 635 then.
635 after the money that they've raised themselves. Yes.
Right. Central services. So it's $635,000.
Yeah, and the way I kind of look at it as well is that we're not working backwards with this. What we need to figure out is a fair percentage of central service fees for the station. And then as we work on the national office budget, then we will base what we can do or can't do or set aside money in an investment account based on that. I'm not going to say, oh, we need $1.2 million, therefore let's divide that up among five stations. We want to create a fair and balanced central service formula that is, 15% of the average of what people have, their revenue over the last 4 years, so it's easy to budget as we move forward, whatever that may be. And then we will work our budget according to that. So if I see that we're getting, X dollars in central service, well, then I know, okay, I'm not going to just sit back and rely on only central services supporting the national office. We're still going to work on underwriting. We're still going to work on corporate match. We're still going to work on major donors. We're still going to work on grants. So it's not a matter of whatever we get with central service, that's going to be our revenue. We still have to generate revenue. This is just supporting the income that we have so we can still continue to provide the services that we provide to Pacifica and the foundation as a whole.
R. Paul again a little bit?
Continue, R. Paul.
Okay, so it looks like the national office is projecting that it would be good to get $635,000 for FY25 from central services fees. And yes, the fees go to support everything. And I forgot part of my point just now. Well, there goes that. Okay, so they want about $635,000. And I will note that the Dybbuk is in the details with this particular thing, because as you dig down deeper, you have to say, and how do we do that? And how we do that is we assign it to each individual station. That's where the formula comes in. But part of doing the formula, and a big difficult part of doing the formula, is that going to happen? Because if you say, okay, we have a formula, and this is going to give $635,000 to the national office, and then if some of the stations can't make their central services fees, which is not an unknown phenomenon in Pacifica, you will end up with the national office saying, uh-oh, we're short of money. We're in trouble. And so you have to go back and forth and understand this is a feedback loop is what we get, because you have to look at the budgets for the stations and you look at the budgets for the national office, and you got to go back and forth and deal with the central services formula going back and forth between those budgets to try and make them work. And you got to think ahead of just saying X station's going to pay X amount of central services fees. You got to assess, is that feasible? And that's one of the difficult things in central services formulas. Thank you.
And may I make add in at our poll that we're asking Stephanie for an advanced estimate. We haven't, she and the office have not made their final polished offer of a budget yet. So let's not nail down one particular number. We just know that's where we're headed, or the where the national office believes it's headed, so that nobody says, but you said it was going to be this amount of money. And I just want to reiterate that I asked for a projected an estimate, okay? I don't want to put Stephanie on the spot more than we have to. Thank you, Stephanie.
Come out of the stack.
Thank you, Kamal. Go ahead.
Question, is the national office budget, is it prepared solely by the national office staff, or is it done in kind of conjunction with the national board? Is it in a vacuum, or are we kind of all involved with preparing this budget? How do we know what the national office budget should be? Who's preparing that?
I can only base off historically my experience. There hasn't been a national office finance committee, unless it was this finance committee, that sits down and helps prepare the budget. I don't know how it's been done in the past.
So I'm wondering why, Chair, there's a kind of inordinate amount of pressure on Stephanie et al. Up there, the national office, to prepare this budget. Shouldn't it be done in concert with what the actual Pacifica body would like to see happen? They're not a standalone entity, correct?
I believe that the process is exactly the same as it is for all the other units, that the division, the national office is a division, that division brings up its budget. And you're right, they don't have an LSB, so they don't have the finance committee and then the LSB approval. They have us. So they bring their budget directly to the NFC, and just like any other unit that we're reviewing, we review and work with the presenter to come to a place that we can approve and send to the PNB. So they are a unit, and they work just like their process is going to be the same as every other, except they have the oddity of no LSB associated with them. They get us.
Yeah, but if I may, how can the national office incur any expense without the knowledge or understanding from the rest of us? Is it something else I'm missing there? That are they operating somewhere, somehow, on their own?
Okay. I'm sorry, Stephanie. I have a tendency to answer for the person, and I shouldn't do that. Do you want to take that how you decide? Mel, why don't you go ahead and ask it again of Stephanie?
I'm just curious if the national office can incur an expense independent of the knowledge of the national board. How, if they're able to prepare a budget, wouldn't the budget then come from the understanding of the national body and not of their own business? I mean, I know the stations have businesses locally. They have to deal with different vendors. But it would appear to me that the national office only would incur an expense that was authorized by the national board. Am I not correct on that?
There hasn't been any outstanding, our admin expenses are just kind of the basics, like legal fees, accounting contracts, audit fees, payroll charges, insurance expense, interest, bank charges, computer maintenance. You don't have office rent, taxes, fees. There isn't anything that is, we don't have any vendors per se that we're working with that are individuals. You know, so if we have a licensing agreement for music, the stations all have part of that licensing agreement, but the main license is through Pacifica Foundation. The you know, not Nielsen Ratings, but the Radio Research Consortium, when that was first brought to Pacifica's attention. The national license is by through the national office, which is the Pacifica Foundation, and then individual licenses were given to the stations. The same with Allegiant. National license was at one point granted to Pacifica Foundation, with individual licenses given to the stations that use it. So there isn't, we don't incur electrics or gas. I'm not too sure what expenses we have, or you're thinking that we might have that need to be approved if we're entering into any sort of contract for somebody, like the brokers for the sale of a building, which went through the national office, then that gets approved by the PNB prior to any contract being signed.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about trying to expedite the central services discussion, because if we all have line of sight on what the national office's needs are, I'm not quite sure why we can't then say take that pot of money, tack on a incidental, accidental 10% or something, and then let's talk about funding the national office to that amount. I mean, I don't know. I guess I find it a little bit bogged down, because we're all kind of working for the same goal here. So why don't we kind of just lay it all out and then just make sure there's a cushion there, like the normal budget, you know, give yourself a little cushion, and then we'll work on that number amongst the five stations to make sure that the national office is properly funded.
Well, that's where the basics of what the breakdown of the expenses are is just like everybody else's budget. You know, we have the same general ledger line items as everybody else: telephone, postage, consultants, professional fees, accounting, audit, payroll. Some of these we don't have because we don't have office rent. We don't have, you know, postage. Usually Markeisha and I pay for any sort of postage ourselves. The same with any notaries or anything like that. We just pay for that personally. You know, so all of that is broken down. One of the things that doesn't really count into the budget is the past due payables that we are responsible for. So we do have past due bills that we do when we say we want, you know, kind of a little bit of a a cushion, or, you know, or not saying exactly this is just what we need to balance the budget. We also have to take into consideration that it's accrual counting. We have bills that are past due that we're trying to catch up on, and as do many of the stations. And so any sort of extra or cushion, like you were saying, which is always wonderful to have as a safety net, we've been using to pay down some of these past due payables.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, just kind of brainstorming, trying to think of a way to kind of get us on the right track. Appreciate it.
Myla for the stack.
Thank you, Kamau. Myla, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on that. And along the lines of what Kamau was just asking, I'm fully in support of the $50,000 that Pacifica paid in for the training of reporters for the national coverage of the RNC and DNC. I'm just wondering, where in the budget is there a budget item for national programming? And is this something that had been approved or needed to be approved, this expense, by the national board or by the board in general?
We have a programming expenses line item that has not really been, it's been used in the past, but there hasn't really been national programming. There has been discussion of having national programming for quite some time. When there was a programming committee, there was an attempt by the programming committee to put out national programming, but that didn't happen. And so we were in a position in the national office and in discussion at our monthly general managers meetings that also include the affiliates directors as well, to discuss doing national programming. Multiple reports of this, including press release understand where the coverage can be found, where the coverage was started, who the people that were involved in the affiliate level and the national level with this programming have been in the ED report and presented to the PNB months prior and continuing through the coverage.
Thank you.
So I don't know, the national office, we're told, I mean, I would love to have national programming. I've been told for a year and a half now to get national programming out there. Programming committee tried, but wasn't able to get it off the ground. But the general managers and the affiliates were able to do that working together.
So would that would be an item that would be part of the central services? That would be included in the as a central service budget item. Is that right?
Well, I don't look at it as central services are used just for this. Central services support the national office. The national office has these expenses. The central services aren't restricted to a certain use. With the national programming, for example, I wouldn't ask the station to provide central service payments to help cover national programming, especially if the stations weren't going to be using it, and particularly since this was something that was new as far as, you know, or new, relatively new. It hadn't, you know, national programming hadn't happened in a while, and we were fortunate enough to be able to get a grant to cover the cost of this national program. So that was, it was budgeted based upon what we were able to receive from these grants. The original grant request for the training was $25,000, but we only got $15,000. So we adjusted accordingly to make sure we stayed in budget at $15,000.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out where this fits. It's not included as part of central services, but it's part of the national offices budget. Is that?
Well, part of the revenue, I mean, it's central. There's more to the revenue of the national office than just central services. Is central services supposed to be a majority of the budget? At this point, it always has been in the world of Pacifica. But it would be great to be able to increase our major donors, to increase our sponsorship underwriting, to increase grant income. We can't get sponsorship and underwriting dollars unless we have national programming. So being able to have national programming of the convention coverage was a great sort of segue into, okay, we did it once. Actually, we did it twice at both conventions. It was successful. We got good press coverage. Some of our reporters got on their local news stations, television, and radio talking about Pacifica and this coverage. A lot of the affiliates were using it. We will continue to do this coverage through our program Sprouts all the way through January 6th. So this is just a segue into the world of national programming, which then will allow us to get sponsorships and underwriting to continue with national programming in the future, as well as continued grants, and we were applying for a couple of grants now, to continue this training program for young, and not even young, but up-and-coming radio producers. So all of them kind of feed into each other. So yes, central services does help support the national office, but it's just one of multiple layers of revenue that can be generated. But that revenue that's coming in from central services is going out to support, you know, we don't have an HR department, so, but that's Markeisha and I. So there's a lot of HR issues that we deal with, and HR that takes up a lot of our time. And so the central service payments are covering those national expenses that benefit everyone, you know, the insurance, the HR concerns, legal issues, the audit, the taxes, all of those things are on a national level. So I don't really look at central services as, oh, it's coming in and it's going to be used for this. Sometimes for a station specific, if they're having some issues with something, then we will direct that central service to go back to pay their electric bill or to go back to pay, you know, their health benefits or something like that. But in general,
so,
the central service is just one level, is just one stream of
Thank you. If I and the fog is beginning to clear for me, and I apologize because I'm a relative newbie, but it's my understanding now that the central services fees are one stream of revenue for the national office, only
correct.
One spoon. And okay, that really
and
that
because Central Services hasn't been
extremely helpful.
I
had been assuming that they were the Central Services were comprised the entire revenue stream. Oh, at any rate, thank you for clearing that up for me.
Of course,
I apologize
for
my confusion.
No, not at all. Because I think that's a lot of it is how it's viewed, and we can't rely no business. Whether it's a for-profit, a non-profit, a mom-and-pop, they can't rely on just one stream of revenue. You know, you've got to be able to have multiple streams of revenue in order to succeed in case one
right.
of those lines of revenue dries up. And in the world of Pacifica, Central Services has a history of drying up. That's
okay.
why we need to reach for and look for other forms of revenue in order to keep moving forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lila. Anyone else? And I just want to reiterate, we're not reviewing the budget itself of the national office. We're trying to get the figure that we need to work with, and we have every right to ask all the questions in the world we want of the budget, but that's separate from passing their budget is separate from, but not 100% separate, I get it, of the question of what amount of money do the stations need to provide to the national office next year. I'm going to mention that the other thing that we have is that our Paul did find a couple of issues, motions from the PND in different years. And he sent that out to us days ago. And we will get into what do we do with conflicting PND motions over the years. Are we capable of sorting that out or at least making a decision about it? But I'm going to ask not go into that right now. I just want to remind everybody we've got that coming. That we have Maria on the line, and I have sent a number of items that are historical financial records from Maria, plus a narrative that she wrote. It's in your email as a talking points. I mean, it has more words in it, but I was careful to put talking points in the subject line. And I'm going to ask Christina and Maria as well to suggest what's the most, do you think, productive way to go about doing all this instead of just having, and it's one way we could do it, but just having people call out questions about anything that they've seen so far. And Maria, I've told people there may be things that you've been sending that I have not turned into email yet and sent to everybody on the PND, on the NFC. So if you want anything.
This is Christina.
Anything?
So I would suggest that Maria give a little presentation that she has discussed with you already, and she's shown me already to show the genesis of the way the formula was devised and the way it hasn't been changed over the years, and an overview, and then maybe take some questions.
Maria, does that sound like...
I'm perfectly fine with that. I am ready to go.
All right, folks, this is Maria Negrette. She's the business manager of KPFA. She's been doing that job for over 16 years, I think since 2009. And that's all you, I mean, that's as many laudings as I can give at the moment. Go ahead, Maria.
Okay. Just a little bit of background. Hello, everybody. My name is Maria. I'm the business manager at KPFA. Like Darlene said, I've been here since with KPFA Pacifica Since January 3rd of 2009, I went in on a Saturday, got 2 hours of training, and my predecessor patted me on the back and said, good luck. And that was it. So almost 16 years later, here I am still because I'm damn stubborn. So Central Services, starting when I could only speak to where I started in January of 2009. I'm sorry, Darlene, do they have the talking points, the actual notes?
Yes, it was sent. It's in there.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. I'm sorry?
What? Are these the pings you sent, or?
Well, Darlene sent them, so I'm not sure.
Darlene?
Darlene sent them.
Okay, so these are the ping files you sent. The images.
Like bullet points, talking points, bullet points. Yeah.
Well, there's images, and there's one that I call talking points and chronology.
Oh, I don't see a file name like that.
Hold on.
Okay. I mean, it's basically, I could read it. It's not complicated. It's just a chronology of it. But in 2009, when I first started, and Darlene, you could forward this to them right now if people don't have it, but I'll just continue on. In 2009, Pacifica, the controller of Pacifica, would actually send us a quote-unquote bill, and they would send us a bill of Central Services on legal fees, National Election Supervisor, whatever needed to be paid by the stations. They literally would send us a bill, and then we would pay that bill, which included Central Services. The horrible part about what was happening back then was that Central Services was calculated on the previous month's revenue. So depending on how well the stations did or the fluctuation of the revenue meant that the Central Services fluctuated. The stations didn't know how much, you know, 3 months prior, they didn't know how much they were going to be paying, you know, in the future. Pacifica didn't know how much income they were going to get. You could only imagine, you know, one good fund drive, great. All this, you know, Pacifica got all this revenue. One bad month, Pacifica tanked on Central Services revenue. It was such a hit or miss. It was awful. We hated it. In 2014, 2015, that the then CFO, one of our best CFOs, Raul Salvador, anyway, he came up with a brilliant idea. His idea was take 4 years of revenue. At that time, it was 2010, 2011, 12, and 13. Average those 4 years of revenue, multiply it times 15%, and you get your revenue for the fiscal year of 2015. I will say, and it's in my talking points, that the Central Services rates were higher prior to that, but regardless, it was a fixed amount. It was wonderful. We could budget. We could cash flow. Everything was just hunky-dory. The idea was that in 2015, in 2016, the oldest year had to drop off and the newer year come on. So in fiscal year 2016, we should have been calculating Central Services on 2011, 12, 13 and 14, but that never happened. We have had the same formula based on 10, 11, 12, and 13 revenue for the last 10 years. We never did that recalculation of our revenue to get a new Central Services amount. I complained to the CFO, who happened to be right next door, because KPFA, or national office, used to be right next door. And his thing, his quote to me was, oh, we can't do that. Pacifica needs all the revenue it could get. Well, the stations weren't getting the revenue. So how fair is that? And how that was, it was awful for the stations. So anyway, that's the talking points in a nutshell, a lot more in between, that if Darlene sends you that, then you could see everything else in between. But the pretty pictures that Darlene sent you shows you shows you what how the revenue has changed. I will start with our own station. I'm not sure what order Darlene sent them to you in, but I'll just start with KPFA. In 20, the average revenue of 10, 11, 12, and 13, the average revenue was $2,773,000. Our central services, 15% of that, was $415,992, okay? Almost, well, $416,000. The most recent four-year average, 2020, 21, 22, 23, the average revenue for KPFA is $1,905,000. That's a 31% drop in revenue. But yet, central services never dropped. Based on that calculation from 2015 to the calculation, say currently, if we were to do this for 2025, that's a $130,000 difference for KPFA alone. KPFK, their average revenue back from that time, KPFK was, their average revenue was, I'm just going to round it, $2,946,000. Currently, their average revenue is $1,137,000. That's a drop of 61%. But yet, their central services never dropped. Their central services back in 2015 was $442,000. Their central services now, based on the most recent average, would be $170,542. I mean, that's just huge to put that on them. It's $271,000, quote unquote, overcharged to KPFK. KPFT had an average of $951,000 back in the 2015 era. Most recently, they would be at $409,000. That's a 57% drop. $81,000, which is for a station like KPFT, a much smaller station, that's a huge amount. WPFW, woohoo, they actually have come a They've done so much better than the rest of us. 2015 was $1,225,000. Most recent average is $1,077,000. That's only a 12% drop, which is much better than the rest of us. WBAI, their average $2,533,000, currently $876,000. Their drop is 65%. And while I'm on WBAI, I'll just make a quick note that, so yes, it's a 65% drop in revenue, and they were, again, quote, overcharged $133,000 if you round it up. WBAI has had the break of the percentage. All the other stations have paid or charged 15% for national office, and 2% to PRA, with the exception of KPFK because they housed PRA, so they got a small break. But WBAI in fiscal year 2012 and prior, they were at 17%. Then they got a break of 7.2%, as where the other stations were 17%, they were 7.2. In 2015, the other stations were at 15%, they were at 8%. And when I happened to see that, it wasn't announced to the business managers at the time, and at the time, everybody pretty much had business managers. I commented to the CFO, LeVarne Williams, at the time, why they were getting a break, and it was because, and I remember this explicitly because I was not happy about it, I will say, the reason it was is because their expenses were too high. Mind you, that their revenue was exactly the same, well, similar to what the other stations were. So that's basically it. I've heard conversations about, oh, no, we used to do central services based on all revenue. No, since 2009, we have always based it on listener support. And I have screenshots of that in 2012. I have from the template that Pacifica gave to all the business managers at that time, all the central services was based only on listener support, not major donor, not car donations, not minor donors, no grants. It was only listener support. It always was just listener support. Same thing for 2013. Those screenshots were there. I don't know if they were shared with you, but these, I could show you emails where these were sent to me, and this is exactly where it all came from. And then, like I said, Raul just came up with this brilliant idea. Great idea. However, 10 years later, we're still paying and central services on this old average. The auditors have looked at this. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not privy to all that, those conversations or whatever, but nobody really has said anything about the fact that we're still charged central services on 10-year-old revenue. I gave this information to, subsequent CFOs. I've given it to NETA. I've screamed it from the mountaintops, and I'm happy to explain anything to anybody who wants to listen to me. And I appreciate you listening to me today. So that's it in a nutshell. You're welcome to ask me any questions.
I have something first for the committee, Maria.
Okay.
I'm having trouble finding everything I sent. But when Maria just went over those, what would be, if we were able to have a shared screen, is in the NFC message number 1957. It went out today, I think, at noon, 12:02. That's, of course, Pacific time, 12:02 Pacific. And the talking points that she is asking you to go over. You did get them. They are NFC message 1962. They came at 4:30 Pacific today, and that's entitled for NFC Central Services, Talking Points and Chronology. So you have both of the things that Maria went over now. There are a number of smaller, more particular pieces still coming. I started sending these out. I didn't want to overwhelm anybody, and I also did not think that Maria would be called in tonight to do this. So
So we've got a little bit of a gap there. But the big number of spread of graphs and diagrams that she's talking about, you'll find under, I asked for history, we got history. And for NSC Central Services, talking points and chronology. Okay.
I want to say something, else before I open
I'm sorry.
Before I open it to questions, and it was just kind of like a light bulb went off in my head when Stephanie was talking. In 2015, Pacifica would, if everybody paid Central Services, 100% of Central Services, Pacifica would have had $1,386,908, okay? $1.4 million in revenue if everybody had paid Central Services. Stephanie mentioned something, and I don't know the exact amount, about needing like $600,000. If we were to, if you were to lower the Central Services based on the most current revenue, Pacifica, and everybody paid their fair share, Pacifica would have, $735,000. You don't need to be a CPA, an MBA, or anything else to understand that if everybody paid their Central Services based on the lower revenue, that would cover the $600,000 that Stephanie is asking for. That's it.
Right. And if I may, this is
all right.
Darlene, can I just add something real quickly? In the budget that was submitted back in September, and then the draft budget also for the national office in June, the Central Service revenue was based, that I've plugged in there, was based upon 15% of the revenue from the year prior. So the numbers that Maria were talking about on what the Central Services should be, you know, now, does bring it down to very close to, if not a little less than, some of them a little more than, the numbers that she had pulled in her charts as well. So as I've been budgeting moving forward, it hasn't been based on 10-year-old revenue, but on averaging out the revenue over the last few years.
Can I ask, Stephanie, is that based on listener support only?
It was based on everything but grant income, and there's no budgeting of bequests or anything like that. But it also made accommodations for if there were restrictions on any sort of donation.
Restricted
donation, and a restricted donation meaning it's toward a certain project, capital project, tower fund, something like that, then we obviously would not take Central Services from that. But listener support, major donors, corporate matches, anything that is a non-restricted revenue.
Right. And I think you and I had an email exchange. I just remember this. You may not, because you only have 110 emails a day. Somebody had told you that Central Services had always been based on all revenue. And I sent you an email showing that, no, in actuality, it has always been only on listener support.
Correct.
Yeah, and
we all kind of need to have as a committee further, because their, you know, listeners support, what does that mean? You know, is a major donor giving because they were listening and they gave a major gift?
Right.
Can donations come in and people claim that it is a major donor or a grant when it's, you know, if they it's a grant,
can't hear that.
It's a major donor. You know, so we do. Yeah,
Stephanie, you are very low. Your volume is very low.
Okay. So that's one of the things that the committee needs to discuss, what constitutes listener support.
Right.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Okay, yes.
I call for the orders of the day.
Which means we're sticking to the agenda.
Well, okay. This item started at 9:06. It is now 10:08. It's a little over.
Right.
Plus, at 9:50 p.m., we were supposed to have a motion to go to executive session. So we need a motion of some sort to do whatever we're going to do next.
Okay, this
is Myla May. I make a motion to extend this item for 15 minutes.
Let me just say, Myla, I was trying to work out what the motion should be. So I'd like to work mine out, and we can make one too. So, Arpal, I was saying that the cutoff time was estimated, but you are right. We have gone over what we expected, and I don't want people to be too awfully hungry right now for this information from Maria, because we're going to have a number of sessions of the NSC that are going to keep digging into this. So this is not a one and done by any stretch. Myla, would you like to go ahead with your motion?
Yeah, I make a motion to extend this item for 15 minutes, and I'd like to be on the stack.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Does anyone want to speak?
You can't speak to it.
Anyone
we got to go to a vote. Ask if there's objection.
Okay. Well, we can't have a stack if we just do that. But okay, we'll do that. So does anyone object to extending this matter, this topic, for another 15 minutes before we adjourn this session, the open session? Is there anyone opposed to that motion from Myla? Hearing none, we are extended for 15 minutes in this
item. Okay.
Our ball for stack.
My question, if am I recognized, Madam Chair, my question is just a simple one. I'm wondering, Maria, and thank you so much for being with us. Can you tell us when the formula was changed in terms of only using listener support to using other kinds of support? And I do understand that we really do need to define precisely what we mean when we say listener support. So it's a complicated question, with the second part of which is when we were just calculating using listener support. Did that include items like were car donations included as listener support? Had we actually defined across all stations what constituted listener support?
Okay. So I always tell people, it's a simple thought or idea. Solicited versus unsolicited. Solicited meaning anything. First of all, it's always been, okay, let me back up just a little bit, and I'm sorry, I don't have a diagram for this, but we have different categories of revenue, okay? We have listener support revenue. We have major donor revenue. We have minor donor. I call it minor. It's under $1,000. Car donations, community events, grants meaning two kinds of grants. Sometimes people, their grants, they're regular grants or restricted grants. There are different categories of revenue, interest revenue, gains and loss on investments revenue. There are a bunch of different ones. Some are solicited revenue, some are unsolicited revenue. Solicited meaning we go on air and we ask for money. We send a mailer out and we ask for money. corporate matches were put into that solicited amount or solicited thing in there because I don't know why, but anyway, the difference in my mind, and it always has been the way that it was explained to me when I started 16 years ago, was solicited versus unsolicited. Someone's car breaks down and they're like, hey, let's give it to KPFA for, you know, for donation. That's basically unsolicited. Yes, of course, we advertise that we take car donations, but we don't solicit that person for their junk car. So it has always, since I started in January of 2009, only based on the general ledger account number 5000, which is very specifically listener support. And as I said, I have emails, I have evidence showing that it was only ever based on listener support, account 5000. If you think back to some of the P&Ls, the profit and loss statements that you've seen, you will see the different categories. And it was only ever based on listener support.
And listener support is solicited. Is that correct?
And solicited. We go on air, ask for money. We send a letter. We ask for money. We solicit that donation.
So listener support equals solicited revenue.
Yes. Okay. Yes. When people send requests, yes, of course, we tell them, you're welcome to send us money when in the unfortunate time that you pass away. Please send us your money. However, it's not quite solicited. We don't go out and beg for that.
And so when did the formulation change?
It never has. It supposedly it changed last year, but that was news to me. I didn't know about that. It was actually Stephanie, when I presented the budget to the LSB, we passed it based on only listener support central services. And Stephanie, you know, sent it back to me and said, oh, this isn't right because somebody somewhere, somebody, some governing body decided it was going to be on all revenue. With KPFA specifically, we are lucky enough that people do send us money, unsolicited money. And that would, it's just a lot of money for KPFA to detain central services based on unsolicited bequests or gifts.
I'm going to jump in here with a time issue. And again, we are not one and done. And two, we have old tangled stuff about central services to untangle. That is why I've wanted us to get underway with this. But it's not going to be just in one meeting. So I'm going to ask if, Myla, could you be done with this questioning for your time on the staff?
Absolutely, yes. I'm done. Thank you.
Myla. I have our Paul on the staff.
Okay. Yes. I will note that I have been on the NFC since April 24th, 2008, since we're giving our CVs here. And I will note that the NFC and the KPFA business manager have had a discussion or two about this in the past. Certainly most people, I don't know if everybody else who's on, if anybody else who's on this call were on any of those other calls, but we've had this discussion. And the fact is, yes, there have been changes in the central services formula a number of times. People will note that I did send out the most recent two motions from the NFC to the PNB regarding a central services formula. And as I said before, we would spend months talking about these formulas. And I will read the most recent one, which was passed on April 11th, 2023. And the motion is, the NFC recommends that the PNB pass the following motion, quote, that the central services formula shall be 15% of total station revenue, open paren, all inclusive, close paren, calculated every month on a six-month rolling average, starting 9 months before the current month, with the exception of any station suffering acute financial distress, open paren, as determined by the PNB, closed paren, for which central services shall be 8% for a period of no more than 1 year, with the remaining 7% to be accrued, unquote. So that went to the PNB, and as far as I know, it was passed. And in the email I sent, you can also see the 2021 version. So, as I said, we've had this discussion with the KPFA business manager in the past, and we have, in fact, got a difference here because the central services fee has been changed a number of times. Yes, the old thing from Raul of the years going, it was unworkable. It did not work well, and so it got changed. And as I've said, it's a lot of work to change this. It's hard to figure out. So all of this is interesting, but we have a different formula at this time and have had for years, and so we probably need to acknowledge that and move on. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Arpal. I was never given the instruction by anybody other than Stephanie just 11 months ago about changing my formula. I have budgeted the same formula for the last 10 years. And if there was ever any conversation that should have happened, it should have happened with me. I work hard on the budget. So if there were changes, I should have been told this long ago.
I agree.
So
you should have been told by your treasurer.
And I do not remember ever being told by the NFC. I have presented my budget to the NFC quite a few times. And I have, never been told, excuse me, please.
We had this discussion before.
No, we have not.
Yes, we have.
Okay.
Maria, Star Paul, Christina, for the staff, yes, please.
It's time for a breath. The idea
Christina
was information, not argumentation. I heard for the stack. Who is that, please?
Christina, please.
Okay, go ahead, Christina.
I think that first we should probably do what Darlene said, and I would be appreciative. We just, like she said, this is not the do-all, end-all discussion. I will say that Arpal asserting that a treasurer should tell a person that they are not in the chain of command as far as in the real world. The treasurer is on the LSC. That is not appropriate for them to be mandating or giving them any kind of management direction. We don't do that. I'm on the LSV, okay? I'm not a manager, first of all. Second of all, we're still paying the same amount base that we've been paying for the past 15 years. It's right in the it's right on the chart that Maria sent.
Ten years.
I'm getting tired. So it's still the same goal for 10 years. So this thing has changed many times. Maybe it has for you, but not for our goal. It's still the same on our chart. So I would ask that we can people take the time to read what Maria sent and that we revisit this at the next meeting after people have taken the time to absorb the documentation. Because she did send, Darlene sent us a lot today, and she's right. It's hard to take all
not
of that
every-
in
Right.
But
and I
want
everybody to know you're going to be getting more. I only set the set of things that Maria had given as an outline to show what's been happening in Pacifica over time. I know we keep saying to each other, well, we're only making half as much money as we used to. And it sort of sounded like people, that was just something people said. Maria put it down in numbers to show us how the change of what we're working with. So I do want to ask if there's anyone else who wants to ask a question of Maria right now on the material that was sent, because I'd like to be able to also invite her back. And lastly, let me say, there's going to be more coming for a few more days, because there was so much documentation. You only got the big basic set. And with that said, so we're going to work with each other between meetings, folks, one way or the other. We really have that obligation. And is there anyone else who would like to ask the question of Maria on the material before we do a wrap-up, because we are exhausting our 15-minute extension?
Kamau, to the staff.
Go ahead, Kamau. Maria?
Yeah.
You're still here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I have, yep, Kamau Harris, Treasurer, WPFW. So, actually, I have a point of information. I heard someone say chain of command. I didn't pick up who that was that said that. So I'm just curious, are we saying that in this particular meeting, any motions that have passed and then subsequently passed by the PNB, there's no responsibility for the Treasurer to relay that information to management? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, we haven't made decisions that need to be passed on. And I know I have been trying to be polite about it, but I have sent at least three times now this year emails in which note, please make sure this goes to your LSB. Please make sure this goes to your finance committee. Please make sure such and so in your station hears about it. So the NFC, a director and a treasurer from each station, will and does have some responsibility to transmit information. But as Christina pointed out, we are not in the official chain of command to tell people what they must do. So there we go. It's an in-between.
Well, that's fine. So the treasurers don't, but then are we saying that the directors are responsible for relaying that information to management? How do we operate as a body, pass all these motions, have things lined up the way R. Paul explained that particular motion was lined up, and then nobody knows about it? I mean, how do we avoid that?
Good point, Kamau. Let's wind our tenure up here in January with having that completed, having the PNB pass what we could call the levels of responsibility, or NFC responsibilities. I'm just jumping in there with a suggestion.
Madam Chair, could I jump in and say that's absurd? Surely we have responsibility in Pacifica and have had for more than 60 years. And, yes, as the member has pointed out, each station has four directors, one of which is on the NFC, the treasurer on the NFC, and each station has a general manager, whom I assume is going to get told about things.
Point
we do not
order.
Need to reinvent a wheel.
Point of order.
But our fault, it may be that we don't actually have a wheel. And that, I believe, is what
well,
asked about.
We obviously
did. Point of order, please, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry. I had a question.
Go ahead. Come out.
I had one more question, Maria. The revenue computation that you explained, where you took a four-year average and you took another four-year average, that second four-year average, I think, encompassed most of what would be considered like the COVID years, 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023. Was there an adjustment for that particular fact that, you know, the COVID essentially shut the country down for a little bit? And or did we have any kind of PPP money that would have come in to the organization that's in that particular average for those 4 years?
Okay, so let me be clear that my calculations for the 2020, 21, 22, 23, those aren't what is the reality of what we are being charged for central services. We are still paying on the averages from 2010, 11, 12, and 13. That was just my calculations to show you that the difference and the reduction in revenue. But we're not paying based on that. It does not calculate or bring into account the PPP. I do want to speak to something about, and I know it's possibly not my place, but I want to say that you all being the NFC, not you individually, but the NFC has approved the Pacifica budget based on the revenue from 2010, 11, 12, and 13. So what Mr. R. Paul Martin has said is that, this was passed. Well, fine, great. I was not told, nor was my general manager. So if there was an issue at some point, everybody should have stopped right there and then and said, wait a minute, this isn't what we had agreed upon. You all agreed and approved either the stations and or Pacifica National Office's budget based on incorrect calculations. Gee, maybe we should have talked about this 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever. But yeah, I am not trying to put anything over on you all. I was not told about any of these changes. I go along my merry way and just do the budget, do the cash flow, pay the bills based on what I know. And that is what I know, 15% based on the revenue from 10, 11, 12, and 13. That's it. That's all I know. But no, we did not take into account PPP. You're right. Stuff hits the fan and everything happens. So,
I get it. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Okay. Lyndon for the stack.
Okay. Lyndon. Okay. I wanted to say we have gone over our 15-minute extension. I want to bring this to a close. I'm not going to cut it off, but I want to bring it to a close. And Lyndon is on the stack.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that most of the PPP money went to offset expenses, and I don't think it was calculated or received as or calculated as revenue, at least right off. Having a resolution or getting it passed, an amendment passed at the NFC, as R. Paul said, that doesn't mean it was passed at the PNB. So you need to go find that before you can, conclusively say that we did pass something as a body. Thank you.
Yes, Lyndon, thank you for adding to our task list, but a necessary task. I had heard a voice before Maria. It was a very soft or muted sound voice. Have I passed over anybody? All right. Considering that, we are now at about 10:30 Eastern time, I am making a motion to adjourn to executive session, which is timed out as a very short session, but I motion to adjourn to executive session at the current time of 10:33 p.m. on the East Coast. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, this open session is adjourned, and we will now begin an executive session.